answer a question like that. I just want to say it's great to be with you here at Alma. As has been said, I'm Derek. I'm a church leader from Ebenezer Church in Hawfield. Kind of feels just up the road, really. But hey, Bristol's a big city, isn't it? It's good to be with you here this morning. I believe it's a wonderful thing when church feels like family. A family where everyone gets on well with each other and there is respect and love, support, help, even accountability. A couple's happy married life almost went on the rocks because of the presence in the household of an old aunt. For 17 long years, she lived with them. Always crotchety, always demanding, always moaning, always complaining. Eventually, the old girl passed away. On the way back from the cemetery, the husband confessed to his wife, "Darling, if I didn't love you so much, I don't think I could have put up with having your aunt in the house all those years." His wife looked at him, horrified. "My aunt," she cried. "I thought she was your aunt." Question for you. What kind of church family is there here at Alma Church? I can ask you that question because I'm a visitor. And I can ask you these questions because I kind of don't know you that well. And that's just a question. Does it feel like family? Does it say to the visitor, "You are very welcome"? Does it say to the vulnerable, "How can we help you"? Does it say to the lost, "Make yourself at home with us"? And when there are people that you just really don't get on with very well, if that happens, are you gentle and patient with them? Do you bear with them? Because that comes up in our reading for this morning, and we're looking at the whole subject of being mature in Christ. And I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and do have a look at it. If you've got your Bibles, I know there are Bibles around on the tables, otherwise the words will be on the screen. But I'm just going to read from the first verse of Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul writing to the Christians who gathered at Ephesus, and Paul says to them, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And in fact, it's that last verse that I read that I feel captures for us today the elements that we're going to consider together. From him, that is from Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And what I'm going to do this morning, and this is what I've been asked to do, so I better do what I'm told. I'm just going to give you a little talk, and I've got a couple of questions to give to you on the basis of the talk, and we're going to have just a little time and space, just where you are around your tables, to have a chat with your neighbor, have a chat with the others on your table around the questions, and then we'll have a little bit of a feedback and summing up at the end. So if we can do all that, we'll do well together today. But there are four elements that I just want to bring to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. And four words really: centrality, unity, ministry, and maturity. Centrality, now this is based on that verse I read, chapter 4 and verse 16. From him, that is from Jesus Christ, the centrality of Jesus Christ. Unity, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Then ministry, as each part does its work. And then we land at maturity, grows and builds itself up in love. And those are the four very simple words I want to use for the talk, leading us to consider maturity and being mature in Christ. The first, of course, being the centrality of Jesus Christ himself. Already, Paul has said, there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Jesus Christ, absolutely central. Christ in us, and we are in Christ. That's not going to be new to you, I guess, because if you've been coming along over recent Sundays, having a little look at your overall program, I see you've been looking at themes of being alive in Christ, being rooted in Christ, and today, mature in Christ. Just those two words, in Christ. That's how central Jesus is. And I love the many pictures that are given to us concerning the church. Let me share these pictures with you, this imagery, just to help us capture what the church should be like, what it could be like. On one hand, there's the body. Just that whole image of the body of Christ. But note this, that Jesus is the head of the body. I love this thought, that makes him over us. Here we have a body. We've all got bodies. Christ the head. So the head is over us. But there's also the picture of the church as being a building. And in that case, Jesus Christ is the foundation. So he is supporting us. In a sense, he's beneath us. The church is also described as being the bride. And to the bride, to the church, Jesus is the bridegroom. So that puts him beside us, next to us. And then there's the picture of the branches and the vine. The branches, well, we're the branches. As the church, as Christians, we're the branches. But the very core of the vine is who Jesus is. So he is at the very center. And we're also described as the church as being like sheep. And he is the shepherd leading the way. So he is in front of us. And I emphasize where Christ is, because that is how central he is and must be to the church and to us. Central in our individual lives, I believe, absolutely, but central in our corporate life together as the church of Jesus Christ. He is central. But my second point was the unity of the church. And we read, make every effort, that's interesting, isn't it? I wonder if we do. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And here's the strong language around unity: one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one unified unity. Well, amongst us, there's an amazing diversity. I believe a beautiful array of color, personality, character, preference, strength and weakness, skill and gift. Wow, what a diversity amongst us. And yet, with all this, we have been designed to be united, to be together. And there is that picture of unity. Ah. But we have different opinions, don't we? Different thoughts, different ideas, even different thoughts around theology, certainly different backgrounds. But there can be, and there must be, unity. In other words, you might have a different opinion to me, but we can still get on with one another, can't we? Is that possible? You might have a different church tradition to me, but we both can say Jesus is Lord, can we? We can, can't we? You might prefer, and I hope I'm not treading on any toes here, forgive me if I am, you might prefer the church organ, and others prefer the contemporary band. But hey, can't we still worship God together? Needs to be unity. But then there's ministry. Just call this every member ministry. It was he who gave some, well, this is it, isn't it? Some were apostles and some were prophets, some were evangelists and some were pastors and some were teachers. And all of this necessary to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The picture of the church as a body, I think, is an excellent example of how this is meant to work. The body is made up of many parts, each part very different. But together they form one wonderful body. I know you know this stuff. It's good just to remember. The hand needs the arm in order to function properly. The legs support the weight of the body. The bones rely on the muscles for movements. The mouth is complete only when the lips and the teeth and the tongue perform their job. And we desperately need one another. Don't be an island, as if you can exist without the help and support and the love of other people. We really do need one another. And I believe that the gifts that God has given to us are meant to be used to complement each other. I mean, praise God, we've got people within the life of the church who can do different things so that the community of God's people can function together. And we're meant to be, as God's people, a cohesive team of people, but actually of participants, everyone taking part, everyone doing their bit, not a random coming together of spectators who sit back and just watch. As God's family, we're meant to be brothers and sisters who look out for one another, rather than being competitors who are just looking for first place. As God's church, we're meant to be a safe and compassionate community, not self-centered, not isolated individuals. And as part of God's kingdom, we are meant to be committed to drawing others to Jesus, bringing them into the kingdom of God. I guess I think of it like this. God isn't looking for the soloist. He wants the choir. Have we got that? Forgive me again if this offends. The gopher is of no use to God. He desires the football team. If you get the imagery, forget the sports. The one-man band is just a noise, but God listens for the harmony of the orchestra. That's where we're coming here. Because in a sense, those three elements, the centrality of Jesus Christ, the unity that we hold one with another, every single one of us ministering in the gifts that God has given to us. Somehow, when this all comes together, this kind of sets a bit of a foundation for Paul to say, look, we need to be mature in Christ. And here's the fourth part. Leading up to this, I guess, a growing maturity in all of us. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be like little tiny children. And we're tossed back and forth by the waves, and we're blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. No, we're mature in Jesus Christ. I mean, let me repeat, we are all very different to each other. I confess, standing up here, which is always a bit daunting, and looking at all of you, the difference is obvious immediately by sight. You all look very different. I see different color hair. There's some gray hair here as well, isn't there? I see different clothes. See, some are wearing glasses, some aren't. Some have hair on the face, others don't. You look different to one another. I know in reality, you know too, that you are different to each other. And doesn't that mean that there could be potential for conflict, upset, potential for misunderstanding, confusion? Well, yes, there can be, can't there? I'm sure there's never been conflict and upset at Alma Church. We've had it at Ebenezer Church, I've got to say. In fact, I've had it at every church I've been to so far. So maybe you have had it here, possibly. Because we're different, different ideas, different thoughts. But isn't it helpful if we get these three things right, put Jesus Christ at the center? First and foremost, I kind of feel like saying, place unity high in your values. Aim for unity. Make every effort for unity. Use your gifts and perform the ministry God has called you to. And then there's this sense of being and growing mature in Christ rather than little children. And out of maturity, there does come protection, because we're not susceptible so much to every single philosophy that comes our way, every different idea that can sometimes just distract us from what we're meant to be doing, every theory, every well-crafted argument that people put to us. And we can be mature in Christ and hold on to our values and hold on to the core of what we believe as Christians. So those are four words to remember: centrality, unity, ministry, maturity. And just going to put some questions on the screen. I've done too much talking already. I always do. Time for you now, just where you are. Like I said, now what I've done here is we've got three questions.
And I'm going to ask you just to have a quick read of those three questions and then have a chat with the people on your table in a way of answering those questions. Don't feel fixed to these questions. If you just want to reflect on something I've said or not said, then do that. But this might just help you with a bit of direction. So here we go. First of all, from amongst the various images that are used to describe the church, I wonder if you've got a favorite, and if you have, why? What characteristics do you see in that image that are helpful in your understanding of the church? So, you know, I've talked about the body and the building and the branches and the bride. And my biggest frustration is the alliteration falls down because then there's the sheep. That is a frustration to a speaker. But you might think of other images, other pictures of what the church looks like. And just want you to talk about that. Which one do you like? Which one really means something to you? And why? Secondly, well, how do you define maturity in the context of Ephesians 4? And, I wondered about this one. You know, consider Christians that you know that you would count as being mature. And what qualities do they have that make you think, well, there is a mature Christian? What's the quality that speaks to you of maturity? And thirdly, a practical one very much so, how can we handle issues of a difference of opinion, opposing views and disagreements? That's the easy one, in such a way as to preserve unity in the church. Now, we're not got a lot of time. I'm going to give you, 5-7 minutes, and then I'll just sum it up at the end. So, go, just where you are. If you are visitors here and you're thinking, oh, don't like this, honestly, don't feel under any pressure, just sit and listen. But you might have something to say that we would love to hear. So just chat with your neighbours, have a chat on your tables, look at those questions, and then we'll come back together again. Well, folks, I do hate doing this. I always do. I often work in this kind of scenario, and it's always difficult and a shame just to say, look, we've got to kind of stop there. I suspect you never got to really say everything you wanted to. Maybe you didn't even cover all three questions. But hey, that wasn't what this last time was about. The questions are there to make us think and to make us question and think, what do we think about these things? And just really, really quickly, I mean, the first question, what was the favorite image of the church? Did people have a strong favorite or thought, I love them all? What were the, just shout something out to me.
I think we all disagreed and then we had a fight.
Oh, love that. Well, no wonder you're here to look at maturity. I mean, difference of opinion is okay. Any strong favourites? Okay. We like the body. Great picture. Strong imagery. Branches, yeah. Lovely. So really loving the sense of the church being family, and we're members of that same family. Whether you like it or not, we're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Any other thing? The building. Yes, yes. Yes. Okay. But that's it. You see, so, you know, these different pictures, very often they're different because they're emphasizing something different. I was just saying on our table that for some, they might love the picture of the bride and the bridegroom. The church is the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. But what's the emphasis there? Is that about love and relationship? Is that about commitment to one another? Protection? You know, maybe that those are the elements that are emphasized in that picture. And the body gives different ideas. And the building gives a different emphasis. So I love it that we got all these different pictures. And that's just from the Bible. I think we can imagine other pictures for ourselves. How did we do with maturity? Were we all able to think about people that we would consider as being mature in Christ? And if we did, what were the characteristics that said to you, they are mature in Christ? What were those characteristics? Shout them out. Prayer. So someone who has a prayerful life, and that speaks of maturity. I love that. What else? Willing to be transformed. Maybe with that an acceptance that not quite there yet, but I want to change and I want to be transformed, and I love that. Anything else? Any other characteristics?
Serenity.
At peace with themselves, at peace with God, speaks of maturity. That's a good thought, isn't it? There's a thing. Letting go that desire to control. Interesting, some might say maturity is being in control. You're saying the opposite, in a sense, and maybe a lot would agree with that. Because how well are we controlling stuff anyway? One more idea. Come on, one more. Yes. Just that general air of I'm here for you and spending time with others. I wonder if that mature person you were thinking of was someone who is like a mentor, like a guide, prepared to share their wisdom and be with people, teach them, help them, encourage them. Well, goodness, we could say so much more. Did anyone get onto the third question? Did anyone venture there? Yes, sir. Humility. I love that. Who would say humility? Hey, I think a lot of, maybe we thank you for that. Humility. Isn't that something about someone who is humble? I don't know. They kind of look a bit more like Jesus, I rather think. And that's maturity. Wow. Look, I'm going to sum up here. Love to talk about question three, but maybe that's for you for another time. But I wonder, that would be interesting, because that's where the rubber hits the road. How do we handle situations where there are disagreements or there's a strong difference of opinion? And how, more than ever, how do we deal with that and be mature about it and be still one in Christ? Unity, maintaining unity above all things. Interesting challenge. Look, I just wanted to reflect on this. There's so much more we could say here. Time doesn't allow. But I love it that you are embarking together as a church on a week of prayer. Haven't seen your prayer room. Would love to have a little look. We're coming off the end of a week of prayer at Ebenezer. We've had a week-long time of prayer, people signing up to the prayer room. And I love the thought of that baton of prayer being passed from one to another, and then it carries on through the week. And it's really interesting that that is just where you are today. And I wonder, maybe some of the things we've just mentioned this morning, maybe things to pray about, and pray about them. Keeping Jesus central in all that you are and all that you do together as a church. Maintaining unity. Every member in ministry. Serving God, serving one another, using their gifts, reaching maturity. I find it very interesting. And I count it a privilege that we have the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The chapter is devoted to one prayer. Jesus praying to his Father in heaven. And I find it interesting because Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And then he prays for you and me. For everyone who will believe because of the witness of the disciples. And I kind of wonder, you know, of all the things, as Jesus is thinking of us, what would he pray to God about us? As he thinks ahead of his church, and as he thinks ahead to us who will believe, what was his one prayer? That we would be one. Unity. And it's such a privilege to look at that prayer. And that's what Jesus says. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Here's the prayer. As I think of them all believing, this is my prayer, Father, that they may be one. Just as you are in me and I am in you. Well, there's the centrality of Christ again. So that may be for them. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prays for unity. That's a great thing to pray about. So let's make sure that those are things that we keep in our minds and our hearts to pray. As you embark on this week of prayer, I'm sure there are so many other things you want to pray for. But pray. Pray that Jesus would be central in all that you are and all that you do. Pray for one another, the gifts that we each have, that there is space and opportunity for those gifts to be used. Pray for unity, that you will be one. And pray for maturity. And I'm just praying that God will bless you as a church. This week of prayer could be so significant and important to you. And I pray it will be. And out of this week, God will just do amazing things. I'm just going to pray and then I'll hand over to whoever's taking over. But Father, I just want to thank you just for these simple thoughts we've shared together this morning. And Lord, as we have thought about this question, as we think about people that we know and we would consider as being mature in Christ, how often we would never ever consider ourselves as being mature, always someone else, and yet we've been called ourselves to be mature. I pray, Lord, you would help us. That sounds to me like a journey, more than a destination, a journey of being ever more like Jesus, being transformed, our minds being renewed constantly, so that we might be, day by day, more like Jesus. Would you bless Alma Church? Bless their week of prayer. From this week, would you speak to them and lead them on in your name. Amen.